We need our spirit-filled preachers to teach us right from wrong. We need our old-fashioned seekers who will pray all night long. We need some good gospel singing to help us go another mile. The church will triumph.
Amen.
And go home in a little while.
Amen.
It'll be worth it after all, child. It'll be worth it after all. After all of these
John Burks would say that's more than a song. So, Brother John, I'm looking forward to seeing him. And old brother blessed me for a long, long time, long time. And I know he has you as well. Some of those great men and women of God that's went on before us, we're going to get to see them. But you won't ever see another one like them down here, will you? I mean, you talk about the people that's impacted your life, and whether in ministry or church fellowship, whatever the case is. And so we're going to get to see them again. That's something to look forward to. And that song says it really well. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to see them after a while. And we have to keep that mindset when we get heavy-hearted about those that's went on before us. We have to be prayerful and looking up. Amen. Jesus doesn't want his church to be a defeated church. He wants a victorious church. And so that's the way we need to live. So when Christ teaches this and says this in the congregation in his ministry, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. That's not just talking about the infants, but also the Christians that have been brought along, and Christ wants to bless. He wants to bless. He desires to bless the promises of God in Him. And so that means every promise that God's ever made, I can claim it. You can claim it. It's not going to run void. The expiration's not going to kick in. We can expect everything God done for somebody in the Bible. We can expect it for us. Why? Because Christ has commanded us to ask. Amen. I love this. You get nothing no better than Matthew 7:7. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. That was what he said. And then in the 8th verse, Matthew 7:7-8, he said this. He said, for everyone that asketh, what happens? He receiveth. And so thank God, that's a promise. And that's what we're referencing when Paul said, the promises of God in him are yea. I'm telling you, it's in the affirmative. Amen. It's in the positive. It's not in defeat. And it's not in being cast down. Bless God, the promises of Him are yea. And that's a blessing that we need to hold close to and keep it. Bless God, that's refrigerator talk right there. You need to see that every time you go get you a soda water. Or you get you a piece of bologna out and roll it up in some cheese. You need to see that the promises of God in Him are yea. And so we want to feast on His riches. Amen. Look with me, if you will. I want you to see something in the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew. Matthew 13 is where we're going to be reading just for a moment here, and say a few things about maybe something God wants to see in our lives. Amen. How we can affect others. And how God wants to use us. And so we see it if you're looking in Matthew 13. This is a very familiar passage. And so typically when new Christians start reading, we as preachers encourage them to start in Matthew and read the Old Testament. I always encourage them, read the New Testament 2 times, 3 times, 4 times maybe, even before you go over the Old Testament. And so it's not a dictation or a demand, but it's just a reference of a good starting point. And so here in Matthew's Gospel, we see this in the 13th chapter. And in here, we find that the Lord, you'll have a lot of red letter in the 13th chapter because the Lord's doing a lot of talking. And bless God, it's better when He's talking than when we're talking, isn't it? Now, we can bring our supplications to Him, and we should. But thank God when He wants to say something to us, we need to stand still. And know, I like this, brother, He said, stand still and know that I'm God. And so here, this is what the Lord's doing. He's speaking to His disciples. Now, they hadn't been together very long. Hadn't been very long since the Lord picked them. Amen. He chose them, and He brought the 12 together. But in chapter 13, I want you to see this as I read just a little bit here in verse 1. So the same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto Him, so that He went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And here He spake many things in parables. Behold, the sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where it had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, but because they had no root. Watch this in verse number 6, I believe I'm looking at verse 6. So they had no root and fell among thorns. Some fell among thorns, but other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. And watch this in the 10th verse. Jesus said in the 9th verse, I'm skipping one right here. Who hath ears, let him hear. And so here they speaketh unto him, why speakest thou unto him in parables? Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not from him shall be taken away, even that which he seemeth. One place you're going to find it where it says he seemeth to have. In Matthew's gospel, it says here that he seeing not and hear not, neither do they understand. Now the disciples are coming to him, but here he said that in verse number 14, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. That's being Isaiah. And the word said, by hearing they shall hear and shall not understand. And seeing shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross. Do you think we're in a society today that their hearts wax gross? You better believe it. No time for the gospel. No ear for the gospel. No obedience to the gospel. No submission to the gospel. This is the people that here Jesus is dealing with. And so we find it that there's four kind of hearers. And so he's making a point unto them. And he wants them to realize, bless God, that here the multitude is so vast that Jesus has to get in the boat. And so we could say this is a beach scene. I don't know if it's the same beach scene we would have in our area today. I'm sure there was a lot more modesty and a lot more ministry versus, you know, just the typical vacation setting. And so here the Lord is bringing men and women together to hear the gospel of God. And the multitude is so great that they're pressing Jesus. Now, we got to picture this, because literally Jesus is being pushed on and he's being pressed. And so it's not being effective. It's not working. And so he sees a boat there, and bless God, he says, let's get up in the boat. Because the multitude, now wouldn't that be a blessing if we had a multitude outside trying to hear? That'd be a blessed thing. So we're not making this a negative, no. But here, people are wanting to hear God's word. They want to know. And so that's a blessed thought. And Christ gets in the boat, and he preaches from the boat everything that he had to say. And these hearers that he's describing, he is helping the disciples understand something the church needs to understand. Everybody who says they will come to Christ won't. Everyone who says I am belonging to Christ is not. And so we find it here in the hearers. We want to talk a little bit about the different kind of hearers that hear the gospel, because when we go out with the gospel, we have to realize I remember one man told me when I was working in Dothan in a truck shop. And so this man, I was trying to witness to him a little bit. I was like 19 years old. I just got saved May the 3rd of 87 is when the Lord saved me. And so I wanted everybody to hear the glorious gospel of God. Well, this fella, I remember two things about him. I remember he's from Indiana, and he made it point blank to me that it hadn't been too long back, he killed a fellow. I said, okay. Ain't no argument here. So here he's rebelling against God's word. He's not interested in God's word. Now, hey, did he call me over? No, he didn't. None of that happened, but I'm telling you about experience that Jesus wants his disciples to understand. And so here he's going to describe them. And he's going to make a point of how they are and where they are. And they have the ability to hear or not to hear. And some won't hear. That's why he's talking about the stony ground hearers. And so the word was cast, but it fell on stony ground and there was no earth. And it didn't take root. Sometimes people think, well, what did I say wrong? How did I mess that up? You didn't mess that up. Bless God, they didn't have an ear to hear. And so the stony ground hears, hard-hearted, stony ground. And so, listen, nothing grows on stony ground, does it? You have to have soil. You got to have moisture. And so all of these practical things that we see in real life application, you ladies especially that deal with the potted plants, and the guys are out there planting and getting the corn coming and the peas and the beans and all that stuff. And so we all understand what Jesus is portraying to them. And he wants them to understand that the problem's not you. The problem's not the gospel. The problem's not the message. The problem is they have no ear to hear God's word for whatever reason Jesus just named. Some will, some won't, and some say, so what? But I don't think that's a proper application. Because the so what is a depressing thought of those that wade off into hell against God's will. He's not willing that any should perish, but how many? All should come to repentance. And that's why we keep carrying the message. And so this fellow told me, you know, he said, you don't want to mess with me. He said, I don't care about all that stuff. I killed a man. And I think I told him, the Lord will forgive you for that. Because he will, won't he? If he got saved, the Lord forgive him. And here, these men have went out. They went out and sowed seed. It's what they done. You know, our job, the only job the Lord's give us is to sow seed. And here he's making it a point and a purpose. Look at verse number 11. He answered and said unto them, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. People say, well, how is being part of the church elect? Well, one, God chose us. Two, he put his hand upon us. And three, he shows us things that this world never sees. And so he's showing them right here. They want to know. They wonder, Lord, how did we mess this up? How did we do it wrong? They didn't do it wrong. They went out and they sowed seed. And this is the parable that he's talking about. Inside the parable. And so here they are. So he said, because it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. It is not given. Listen, when I got saved, I didn't know any more than I did the night before I got saved. But I was chosen. You were chosen. God picked you, put his hand upon you. And so this is what the doctrine of election is about. And so we're not elected because we're better than anybody else. We're elected because God called and we answered. We responded to the call. That's very biblical, isn't it? Jesus stood in some places and he said, come unto me, all ye that are laboring and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Well, we know some come, but those that didn't come, they didn't obey the call. See, we think sometimes it's what we did wrong. The Lord called many to follow after me. And the word said in one place, they walked no more with him. Amen. They thought they was going to obey the call, but they quit walking. Yeah. The doctrine of election. See, we don't know. I remember one of the great preachers, Brother John Burks, put me on to. And I had a cassette tapes by the boxes Brother John would send me of him. And he would preach and pound the doctrine of election. Not that sometimes people confuse the doctrine of election. It doesn't mean God picks people and some he's going to save and some he's going to damn and he's going to do all of that purposely. No, that's not the doctrine of election. The doctrine of election is the fact that God calls his children to him. And so we're elect because we were called. We're not elect because we were perfect or we had it all figured out or we was never going to make another mistake. Amen. That wasn't the doctrine of election. The doctrine of election is that God calls those that he chooses, and bless God, we obey the call and we come. And so we are the recipients of God's free grace. And by election, God put his hand upon us before the eons of time. And so here we still have a call to be obedient and to respond to that call. But here, God, let's not forget, God knows all things, all times, everywhere. There's no thing that ever surprises him. Some would say, well, he threw the Lord a nasty curveball, an old slider. Can't do it. God knows all things. And I want you to see this, because we sometimes go away thinking, and I want to encourage you this morning, we don't walk away discouraged when we realize we spread God's word. What did the word say? The sower went forth to sow. That's our job, brother. That's us right there. You said, preacher, where do we fit in this message this morning? The sower went forth to sow, and some fell on good ground, and some fell on stony ground, and some fell among thorns. And we see this, and some, I want you to look with me to verse 8, but others fell into good ground, here it comes, and brought forth fruit. So we're searching for it. And we don't know who they are. We don't know if they'll come to worship 10 Sundays or 10 years or never. We don't know. But see it. Some brought forth 30, 60, and 100 fold. And the disciples, verse 10, came and said unto him in parables, why speakest thou speaking to them in parables? And he answered and said to them, I'm going to tell you, see, you say, preacher, I don't know, I don't feel so elect. I don't feel like I'm one of God's chosen. But here, because it is given to you, verse 11, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. God gave it to you. Did you hear that? Because it's given unto you. Listen, these fellows were fishermen. These fellows had occupations. They was rough. They'd get down and dirty. If they needed to get back to the wharf and tie up with those other boys, they'd do it, wouldn't they? I mean, they were salty fellows that God picked. God picked them. Jesus picked them. Jesus came by and said, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. That's what I'm going to make you. And they left their profession. They left their occupation. They obeyed the call. And so here in the 10th verse, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And Jesus said, you got a red letter Bible, it's in red, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. For whosoever hath to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. See, this is not socialism. Socialism, we got a socialist. We just got back from New York City about 2 weeks ago. And since we got back, there was no talk about this socialist that wants, this communist that wants to be the mayor of the city. And so New York City has just got a lot of beautiful things that wouldn't discourage anybody to go. And we've been a couple times and everything's great. Everything's good. Everybody's nice that we encountered. And so do you see weirdos? Yes, all that. But here's what I want you to realize, that here just like those that came by, Jesus made it clear. For whosoever shall have, to him shall be given, and he shall have the more abundance. But he who hath not, from him shall be taken. And so listen, we can't never in one moment of weakness even pretend that Jesus was a socialist or a communist or any of these things. And so he said, I speak these in parables because they see and see not, and hear and they hear not, and neither do they understand. And so thank God the disciples were called aside, like you and I were called aside, and Christ called us for a mission, and the mission had to be performed. And so when they came back and asked him, why did this happen and why did that happen, he had answers, didn't he? And he said, because there's a reason. I want you to see this, if I can put my hand on it and close. And I want you to realize here, I want to share this with you for the sake of time, versus what I was going to read to you. It's a little redundant into what we just said. So we talked about the four kinds of hearers. And we talked about those that the Lord puts his hand on. And God never misses. Now, does he call people that does not come? Yes. And those people, we know, sometimes it's our family members. God's calls on them, it's real, it's strong, it's evident. And they leave and they go away, much like the rich young man. Remember the rich young ruler? The word said he went away, how so? Sorrowful. He heard Christ. He had a one-on-one with Christ. He was interested in Christ. And you can hear it in the pages of God's Word. You can hear the interest. And so all of these things. And then yet the Word said he went away sorrowful. Why come? There's only one reason. Because he had many riches. His riches was being prioritized above his eternal standing. He went away sorrowful. I pray he'd come back later. Maybe he did. You know, sometimes the Lord speaks in parables. Sometimes it's not parables. It's real application. There was a certain rich man. And so we see this in application. But I wanted to share with you one more thing before we close here. You know, I was 17 years old when I first heard the call of God. Well, I did as a youngster, 8-year-old, Silver Hill Baptist Church, 1976. I was baptized, but nothing life-changing. We all know what that means and how that sometimes works. Not for everybody, but sometimes that turns out to be the case. Fast forward a little bit. I'm dating a young girl in high school. And so she is a very nice lady and her daughter. You know, we're spending time together. And she makes it clear to me. I like this. I hope you do too. She makes it clear to me that when deer season's over, because her husband, he took me in like his own. And so, you know, we're deer hunting. I'm going with him. And you know, we're deer hunting all through deer season. And so here we find it that she's made the point. She's a song leader down at Brooks Baptist Church. And a church about this size, by the way, reminds me a lot of Brooks. And so that's just in the edge of Covington County, just before you get to McKenzie, if you go up Highway 55. And so she was adamant about the fact, if you're going to date my daughter, you're going to go to church. And when deer season's over, I want y'all in church, talking about me and her husband. And so all of these things went on and persisted. And so I told her we would, so I did. And you know what happened, brother? There was a May meeting. They had revival the first Sunday in May. And so they had a May revival. And there was a preacher that came up, and he was a pot-bellied fella, and plow God's word. I mean, he'd plow God's word. I'd never heard anything like him. And so here, God's calling me. This was like May the 4th of 1985. Remember that. And so here, I have professed again. I have professed my faithfulness to the Lord because my preacher brother, he was plowing God's word, Brother John, and his wife was singing like a mockingbird, and the Holy Ghost fell on that little Baptist church. And so me and a couple others, we professed Christ. And so I was totally convinced. God did a converting work in my heart. And so that was, I call it the gospel according to Barbara, because Barbara made sure if you're going to stay here and date her and see her, you're going to be in church. And so all of that happened. Now fast forward, 2 years later, you know what happened? 2 years later, God completed, I don't want to get too technical here, but God called me in 1987. And there was no question about my devotion to the Lord and commitment. Sometimes people get saved and don't commit right away. Is that not so? Very true. We love it when we all commit right then. But we know that sometimes people get drug away or they get lured away or whatever the case. But in closing, I want you to see this. Because I keep her eulogy, I got to preach her funeral the other day. A couple months ago, and I was telling this story a little bit about the gospel according to Barbara. And according to Barbara, you're going to be in church when church time's there. And you know, I appreciate somebody that put pressure on me to get me under God's word. And so it was 2 years later, same first Sunday in May, that's when homecoming was. Same preacher, Brother John, he come preaching God's word. I still see him all along. And I thank him. You know what I thank him for? For preaching it straight. And God using him to allure me in. And so here, Barbara, we was burying her the other day. And I was telling this story. And I keep that little eulogy card for remembrance. Because without somebody like that putting pressure... Pressure. People say, oh, you know, don't bother them. Oh, you better. Them old timers bother you, wouldn't it? And so sometimes people think, well, I'm just going to leave them alone and make their own decision. I tell you that God will bless and reward those efforts. And so we don't want stony ground hearers. And we don't want those that miss the things of God because of whatever they fell among thorns. And so this is happening, what Jesus is painting, the application's real. And so it's real for us. It's real for those that we want to win. And we have to fight through it. And so bless God, we have people in our lives that make a difference. Amen. And you see that in the book of Jude, where Jude talks about snatching them out of the fire. How so, Jude? Making a difference. Remember that place? God wants us to make a difference, church. And we have to get past all those that's crowding the boat, all those stony ground hearers that have no ear to hear. And we have to press on. Even if we have to get clearance like Jesus did and get above the crowd and share. Whatever it takes to get a sinner to Christ will be worth it after all, won't it? Whatever it takes. And so the sower went forth to sow. This is what I want to say to you in closing. The sower went forth to sow. And it wasn't his business of where the seed fell. It was his business that he sowed the seed. Isn't that so? And it tells us one thing. We can't control the circumstances. We can't control the result. But we can control getting the gospel out. And the most powerful part of that, Matthew 13. Let's stand together. You've been sitting a little bit. Let's stand. The most powerful part of that blessed chapter, parable of the sower. Four different types of seed, four different types of situation. But God calls sinners and he saves them. And he saves them by the sowing of the seed. And so the one thing we can't ever do is quit telling the story. You know, I love to tell the story. I told it at her funeral. Her granddaughters got to hear it. Her daughter got to hear it. She married, you know, we didn't, you know, she married somebody else, I went a different way. The impact that that mama made on me was life-changing because God's hand was put on my life. Thank God there was a sower that went forth to sow. Amen.
Amen.
That's what we're trying to say this morning. And we need to be the sower in the lives of others. Don't ever miss an opportunity. You may be going down the aisle at Walmart and you see somebody and you walk by them and you look back and you want to go say something, but maybe you talk yourself out of it. You never know. When you'll say one little thing that meant nothing to you, but it'll strike them in the heart and they'll begin to seek the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
God uses the subtle things. And sometimes we think, well, we're ineffective. We won't know about all that till we get there. Amen. Father, we thank you for the parable. God calls us to be busy in the kingdom. Calls us to get the word out. Calls us to put requirements upon our children and young people that's good for them. Lord, keep them between the ditches. Don't leave us to our own, we'll go astray. God, I pray you put your hand on every heart here, every request, every prayer request this morning. God, we want to pray the Holy Ghost be upon them. Heal these little ones. Touch these that are sick. Spirit of God, help us. Help us. Lord, I think of the man in the Gospels that said, if thou canst do anything, help us. Father, we need your help. Bless us now, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. And all God's children said,
Amen.
Amen.